First up, here in Adelaide, a recent bill attempting to restrict late-term abortion access was voted down in South Australia's upper house last night, seeing former One Nation member MLC Sarah Game's efforts outvoted 11-8. The legislation, introduced in September, attempted to wind back late-term abortion access to 22 weeks and 6 days, thrusting women's reproductive rights back in the spotlight for the second time in just under a year, sparking fierce debate on both sides. As Parliament deliberated over the bill, anti-abortion activists rallied outside.
But what I want each one of you to know is that an abortion after 23 weeks is never medically necessary. So that baby is old enough to survive outside the womb.
While laws in SA allow abortions after 23 weeks with approval of two doctors if mental or physical health of the mother is at significant risk, Games's proposal would have removed these considerations, a prospect heavily opposed by advocates. I spoke with SA Abortion Action Coalition member Zoe Keys to hear their reaction on the outcome.
Our response as a coalition is that we were happy to see the bill voted down. We first and foremost think that the voting down of this bill really reaffirms the Parliament's commitment to abortion as healthcare. And it also helps to reinforce the status that abortion is something that has been decriminalised across all jurisdictions in Australia. So it really helps to reinforce that abortion is something that people should have access to, and we would like to continue seeing South Australians being able to access this essential healthcare service. The other feeling in relation to this bill is one of relief, seeing it voted down. A lot of the language, the debate that has sort of happened since the bill came up about 2 months ago has really caused some unnecessary harms to South Australians who may have been through an abortion themselves, may have had family or friends who have been through an abortion.
Why do you think there was a push to revisit this almost a year after a similar bill by Ben Hood was narrowly voted down in 2024?
I think what we're seeing here in South Australia, and I would say unfortunately we're seeing this, has been a consistent push from certain anti-abortion members of the community to see abortion be restricted. Since South Australia decriminalised abortion, which occurred in 2021, those who opposed that move have wanted to see parts of that bill be restricted further. Hood's bill looked to restrict abortions that occur at a later gestation, and Sarah Game's bill was looking to do a similar thing, restrict access to abortions that occur after 22 weeks and 6 days. And so that focus on sort of abortions that occur later in gestation, which I might say make up approximately 1% of abortions that occur in South Australia. So it's quite a small number, but looking to sort of focus on restricting those. So there is similarity between those two bills, and I think we see similar people behind the scenes assisting in the creation of those bills as well.
Abortion can be accessed after 23 weeks in South Australia with the approval of two doctors due to significant mental or physical risk to the mother. This bill proposed to remove this. The justification around this, as I understand, was reiterated at last night's rally, where it was said that the baby can be safely delivered and the mother receive healthcare. How do you respond to this justification?
This conceptualization that a pregnant person or a pregnant mother is experiencing mental or physical distress, that a fetus can be delivered preterm by a cesarean section, it really makes very simple what is actually a very complex thing. Firstly, care for premature born infants is a very difficult thing. It is always best practice when you're looking at kind of care for pregnancy and for birth is to get as close to full gestation as possible. So this kind of proposal that we can sort of have these premature babies born and then that will solve the problem really doesn't encapsulate the really complex care that's involved in looking after any babies that are born as early as 23 weeks. And also that, unfortunately, survival rates aren't incredibly high for babies that are born around that period.
Last night's anti-abortion or pro-life rally expanded the entirety of the front of Parliament House. So it was quite a significant turnout, and there's evidently a rising following across social media, which has been led by Joanna Howe. Her and Sarah Game vowed at last night's rally to continue the fight. Does this rise or push for the fight concern you at all?
I think it is of concern. It's of concern because every time this issue is brought up in public debate, debate every time that we see a rise in social media posts that are speaking about people who access abortions in really vilifying ways. We see that people who have had experience with abortion, we see them experiencing distress. Because of the language that is often used by people who oppose abortion care, it vilifies people who seek abortions. It seeks to sort of position them as having made the wrong decisions. To be honest, some of the language even refers to people who seek abortions as murderers. And I mean, it's just so disrespectful, and it disregards the complex decision-making that people go through to access terminations, especially at that, you know, later point in gestation where they're doing it for reasons to do with their mental health, reasons to do with their physical health, or reasons to do with fetal abnormalities as well. So it is concerning, of course, to think that we may see further pushes on this issue. The other reason that it is of concern is because what we would like to see, the South Australian Abortion Action Coalition, is time and effort spent on actually improving the access to abortion in South Australia. Though we've decriminalised abortion, we still have people who live in regional and remote areas who have difficulty accessing abortion services in a timely manner. So we have really, really great provision in the public system here in South Australia, but it's not always located in places that are accessible for people who live in regional or remote locations. People have to travel, they have to pay for childcare if they have children already. They have to take time off work in order to access abortions. And we would really like to be spending time focusing on how we can improve that access so people can get the healthcare they need, get it in a timely manner, and have the ability to really move forward with their lives after they access that abortion, to have good quality healthcare. We find as well that these debates focusing on removing the ability of people to access best practice patient-centered healthcare is a distraction from the issue at hand, which is that we would like to improve access to abortion here in South Australia.
And how would you like to see governments or our government act to support improved access to safe abortion?
Great question. We would like to see the ability for abortion, medical abortion, which is abortion that occurs through medication, to be available through telehealth. That would be a really great step forward.
Some are concerned the attitudes in the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the decision by the US Supreme Court, which eliminated the federal constitutional right to abortion, and Trump's very vocally praised himself as instrumental in doing this. Do you think there's concern that Roe versus Wade or similar events from overseas have had an impact on the discourse here in Australia?
I do think we see some of the language and the discourse that is used in the US around abortion. We see it playing out, and we see it being used in a similar way here in South Australia and in other jurisdictions as well. It's worth pointing out that in New South Wales just recently, the law professor who you mentioned earlier also was involved in a bill in the New South Wales Parliament to ban something titled sex selective abortions. And so we're not just seeing this happening here in South Australia, but it has been happening across Australia in different ways. We've also seen recently really quite distressing attacks on the new federal legislation to ensure paid parental leave for people who experience stillbirths. And we saw that during that debate, some politicians brought up whether people who had later gestation abortions would be able to access that payment. The kind of language that was used there really vilified people who seek abortions later in pregnancy, and wanted to sort of use that language where it positions people who seek those abortions as selfish or out to gain something, which I really think we can reflect kind of comes from that broader language that is returning to conceptualizing abortion seekers as problematic people, as deviant. And that has a really damaging result in the discourses that we have around abortion. We've been fighting for many years to destigmatize the idea of abortion, to reposition it as it should be, as healthcare, as something that should be accessible and should be provided through the health system for people who need it, when they need it.
So in relation to this bill was voted down last night, I understand you were there witnessing this debate play out in Parliament yesterday. So can you tell us how this transpired in terms of processes and voting, and were there marked differences or considerations to Ben Hood's bill and how that played out last time?
Yes, I was sitting in the Legislative Council last night, and I was in the Legislative Council last year for Ben Hood's bill as well. So I got to see both debates play out. There were similarities. Many politicians who spoke to support Ben Hood's bill last year spoke and reiterated that their position had not changed. But there was one key, very important change this year, and that was that independent MLC Jing Li spoke for quite a substantial amount of time, a very well-prepared speech in which she talked about how she had been through a process of really reflecting since last year, reflecting in collaboration with people across her community, with different communities, about what it would mean to vote for or against this bill. And in the end, Jing Li voted against the bill. And so her vote changed from last year to this year's bill. And I think it's really important to mention as well that Li spoke at length about the conversations that she's had across the community, but particularly the considerations that she had for what she called the often silenced members of the community, that people that come from culturally diverse backgrounds. So she talked about the influence of different religious practices and their beliefs around abortion. And she spoke about balancing respect for considering life with the need to value the lives of women and pregnant people facing complex and emotional decisions. So for me, that was one of the sort of pivotal differences with last night's debate.
Can you offer any insight at all into how this debate or access to women's reproductive rights affects our more marginalized communities, maybe cold communities or First Nations groups?
If you look at the representation across our parliaments, across this country, we still see an underrepresentation of people from different cultural backgrounds, underrepresentation of people from First Nations backgrounds. When it comes to decisions being made about the bodies and reproductive lives of the community at large, you have certain groups of people making decisions for the community, because since colonization, Australia has been embedded within a Christian or a tradition, generally speaking. We don't always hear about what other religious perspectives might think about issues. And sometimes people want to talk about taking religion out of politics, and we do live in a secular state. But it was interesting to hear Jing Li speak about the communities that don't as often get a voice, who come from different religious backgrounds, and the deep reflection that those people may go through in relation to their beliefs, but also in relation to their position as members of the community in relation to thinking about abortion.
And is there anything else that you would like to add on this specific bill or moving forward and future access to safe abortion?
We are relieved that this bill has been voted down, because we're able to now refocus our attention to improving pathways to quality healthcare for those seeking abortion. And I think the one thing that I would like to see, or we would like to see, continue to be the focus is that abortion is healthcare. It belongs in the health realm. It is a decision that should occur primarily, should be the decision-making capacity of the person who is pregnant. But when we get to abortions that are necessary, needed, or are a choice taken at a later gestation in pregnancy, those decisions are best made between the pregnant person, their family perhaps, and healthcare workers and healthcare systems.
SA Abortion Action Coalition member Zoe Keys speaking with me.